Hello and welcome to another episode of NOLA Time. My name is Obed Velez, and with me is the most interesting man in the world, Joel Young.
What's good, no load time. Obed, good to be with you, man. Loving the Yoshi shirt going on here.
Super Mario World.
Oh, sorry. Super Mario. Okay, I saw Yoshi's head. But I
there you go. Hey. gotta rep. Grab the OG. Not really the OG, but you know.
You know him.
I know. I was there. I was there, guys, 3,000 years ago.
Wow. The beginning of time, there was Mario.
I was there during the console wars 3,000 years ago.
Sorry, we had a conversation about net worth, but recognizability. Do you think Mario or Mickey Mouse is more recognizable worldwide?
Oh, man, Mario.
Mario's more recognizable than Mickey Mouse, you think?
I think so.
Yeah.
It's close, but I think Mario ages it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because we all know, right?
Well, Mario is worth more. We checked that too.
Right.
Like the entire thing, but recognizability. Like, I agree. I think he's more. Yeah. He's gotten even more like relevant as time has gone on.
I think in countries,
where Mickey's kind of gone a little down in like recognition.
Yeah. Well, I think Mickey's been pretty steady. I think the biggest difference would be countries where, Disney's content is not.
Yeah.
Either readily available or not welcomed.
Yeah, true.
And sometimes, you know, video games are, you know, the internet's a place and video games are there.
Yeah.
You know, did I lose my mic for a second? I think I did.
I can hear it now.
Yeah, okay,
I heard for like a second, something like it dropped.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I just got a message to my computer. I'll check my mic again when you start talking, sir. But yeah, I think it's, It's they're both probably around there. I think Mario edges it out.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, again, crazy considering, what's gonna happen here next year? Right?
Correct. The battle of Florida.
Yeah. The battle for Florida.
We're not talking about an election. We're talking about theme parks. The stuff that matters. Sorry, oh, I'm just being silly.
Oh, I love it. No, it's gonna be real interesting, right? And again, I don't wanna keep beating the dead horse, Joe. It's not that I don't want to move on from this topic because I do love talking about this, but
yeah,
who cares about villains land?
I'm with you. Who I don't cares? Want a villain.
It's like
land.
The Boba Fett movie. Who wants
yes,
this?
No I didn't one want wants it. This.
No, I didn't. No one asked for this. Like,
no.
I think the villain stuff would have been great, like early, you know, mid 2000s when villains were kind of hot. Now I was like, who cares, dude? Like, no one cares about it.
That does not make me go. I'm booking my trip to Orlando, Florida, if I'm living in the middle of Kansas City, and I'm going, you know what?
Villain's
land. Time to take the kids. Come on, everybody. Like, I'm not trying to be mean, but I'm just saying, like, we got to think big picture.
Yeah. And you can contrast that to the Dark Universe section that Universal's building. But you know, not everyone cares about like Frankenstein and the werewolf, right?
Right.
But the way that Universal can make those properties edgier, they can get away with it. There's no way that they're gonna have like Cruella looking for the Dalmatians and openly
dogs.
Taking openly saying that she's going to skin them and make a thing. You can't do that at Magic Kingdom, bro.
Peter ain't gonna let that apply.
Are you kidding me? Right? You know, you're not gonna have like, especially now with how I guess I don't want to. Okay, so we welcome everyone in no load time, but some of y'all are a bunch of crybabies.
crazy.
And you can't really have like, you know, Night of the Bald Mountain from Fantasia and saying Disney's building a huge devil statue at Magic Kingdom now. So, you know, it's
they're not gonna do it.
Yeah. I don't
The
know.
other part too is like with Universal having like a dark universe, it's not a villains universe, it's just an edgier, like it's a genre type thing. You know what I mean? Like a villain thing is very clearly saying, like, we're not making a genre, we're making it literally around these, at least how it's being portrayed, like, you know, a character-based thing. And so I don't know, man. Like I don't think that's that you're saying right now, probably not it. But you know, I did see something else. There was something else I saw rumored too about that other part behind. It's just like there's certain lands you can do that even if you don't do it to the standard that people like, they're still gonna go to it. Like Star Wars, like I like Galaxy's Edge, but you know, there are, I can admit, like it's not to the place that maybe I would have thought like a Star Wars land of any kind could be. There's some differences, but it doesn't matter. People are gonna get their butts in airplanes and fly to
Oh,
Orlando because
totally, yeah.
It's Star Wars land, and it
We
doesn't
got,
matter if it's mediocre, if it's great, whatever, like people are gonna be there.
yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Man, it's no one cares about villains. I'm just throwing it out there, right? I'm just throwing it out there. Speaking of monsters, though, Joe, I did have the opportunity. I don't know, for all of you guys, if you're subscribed to our YouTube and are getting those alerts, I'm gonna go ahead and be that guy that says please like and subscribe and send those alerts up. And I had the opportunity to visit the new Arcade Monsters location on International Drive. Like, speaking of Monsters and Universal, like, 'cause it's like right next, almost right next to Universal, is like what, a few blocks away. Very good. Very good. Had the opportunity to go with a group from work, and it's bigger, definitely bigger, right? I mean, they're touting it as the biggest arcade in Florida, right? And it's big. It's pretty big, and they have a ton of games. They have a lot of games. We visited another location, right? It's, I think overall, see, and we were talking about this before we jumped in. I like the other location better because it does feel the Oviedo location, because it feels more like an old school arcade. It's close by. It's, I like the two-tier thing that they have going on in some of the spaces. It feels more like put together, more like what the one. Mike, my mic's broken again. Give me a second.
All good, all good. I'll carry on.
Carry on, sir.
Absolutely. Yeah, we loved the Arcade Monsters experience that we've had at the, like you mentioned, the Oviedo location. If you're in Central Florida area, there's just something about, like, I mean, we're seeing a resurgence in love for arcades, which is great, but that one just has that feel, like when you're in there, of just this classic yet modern twist, and just the layout of it, the second floor, bottom floor, like just it just feels like an arcade the way you want to. Where, like, I've not been to this new one, but it sounds like the way you're saying, it's just a large space of fun, which is great.
Yeah, the other one, and I like how the other one's divided, and it gives you more of like an exploration thing. It's like, oh, there's this little room here. What do they have here? And right, and they have like rooms, right? And it feels really cool, and I really love that. And it gives you more opportunities to take pictures, right? It's more secluded. There's more stuff going on on the walls. The murals are down low where you can take, really good pictures of them. This one had the murals, of course, as it's their, like, I guess, signature a detail. But they're around like the ceiling,
I hear
right?
you again.
Yep. So we'll take a break here in a second. But it I
Absolutely.
we'll be right
Yep, we're
back, guys.
gonna take a quick break here. We'll be right back, guys. Sorry about that.
Gonna throw this thing to the ground, and I'll be right back.
What's up, everybody? We are back. Thank you so much for waiting. Sorry for technical difficulties. Doing the best we can here. But you know, yeah, like just continuing on with the conversation that Obed was having about Arcade Monsters. I don't know. I don't know that they how it is in other states and stuff, but to my understanding, I think this one in iDrive is supposed to be like the biggest one in the country. Some like crazy thing like that, like a specifically arcade exclusive or something like
It's the
that.
biggest one in Florida, yeah.
Florida. Okay.
Yeah, because I'm in Florida. I know that there's like Galloping Ghost up in like Chicago. That's the largest one in the country, and that one is like more of a museum because they have, sure, they have unreleased stuff and everything. Right, it's really big. But I think they officially named this one like the biggest one in Florida. So
yeah. Nice.
Cool. Yeah, it was good, man. It was a really good experience, and they had a ton of games. And you know, if I have one, you'll better step up your food game. It was
okay. That's fixable.
It was okay. Yeah. It's fixable. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. It was busy. Like I got there around noon. There wasn't really that many people, but like the 2 to 4, it was pretty crowded. It was good. It was pretty good crowd, yeah. Which is surprising from like a weekday on like non-peak tourism days. Yeah, I can just imagine summer, dude. That place is gonna get like, you know, packed to capacity during summer. Sure. Yeah, one can assume. Yeah, so yeah, I mean, it really good. Like when it came to the game selection, they had a ton. They had a golden axe. They had a golden axe cabinet, and I haven't seen a golden axe cabinet since I was in middle school, so probably like 92. And it's been a long, long time. They had a punch out cabinet. That one, it was in good shape, but the monitors were giving out already. Those monitors are really hard to come by, and they're really hard. Sure. They're really hard to come by, expensive, and expensive to repair, and also very hard to repair at this point, right? But the cabinet itself was in really good shape. And again, I haven't seen a punch-out cabinet in, since like early 90s, maybe, yeah, like probably middle school too. It was crazy. So they had a good one. They had a Double Dragon. I haven't seen one of those since like... So they had a Double Dragon. So and I played it. It's like, man, I remember Double Dragon being really hard. And yeah, I played it. I was like, let's give it. Let's just one credit. And it was hard. I mean, this game is like Double Dragon more specifically, right? A lot of people like are crazy about that game, and that's more of a nostalgia thing, honestly, because that was. I don't want to say the first of its kind, because like Kunio-kun or like River City Ransom was out before that, but Double Dragon improved on what Kunio-kun was, but then Final Fight came along, and Final Fight was like the standard. I would consider, you know, until probably Streets of Rage 2, and that took over, and that to me is probably like top 5 beat 'em ups of all time. So then the Ninja Turtles games and all that, those were excellent, of course. You know, that all came out after Double Dragon inspired in. So yeah, but it was good stuff, man. It was a really good experience. Tons of fun. You know, I had a, you know, really nice afternoon with a good bunch of people. So it was good.
Good. That's good, man. It's good to hear. Hopefully we'll check it out at some point and talk about it more.
Sure. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Yep, we're gonna take our official unofficial the producer and photographer of Vanilla Time.
Yep, take the crew out.
Take the crew out. Yeah, yeah. What's up with you, man? Anything new?
No, nothing new. I think definitely could jump into the what's up, because it's been quite busy, my friend.
Okay. So I watched. I'm all caught up on Bad Batch.
Yeah, because I know we had two episodes there.
Two episodes last week, but both of them were pretty good, I think. The first one from last week, you know, setting up that she's going to flip the clone, the doctor, Emery, right? She's going to flip. At one point, she's going to flip, and she's going to help the kids escape. So we're gonna drop the spoiler alert now for all of it, for Bad Batch and X-Men. So
yeah, this is gonna connect.
So
just keep going.
Yeah, so we're gonna keep rolling here. So she's gonna flip, right, and she's gonna help the kids get out. The following episode, and that's all there is to that, right? Emery discovered the kids. We found out the reason for them looking for Omega is not that she has an M count, is that she has the binder that right. they need to attach the M count to a new host or whatever. So
right.
So that's the reason why they need her. So all that got explained. And then, yeah, you know, they had three or now four sensitive kids in captivity. And they were the kids that were in the vault that Palpatine went in to see. So there was that on that first episode. The other episode was pretty good because a lot of action, you know, a lot of hide and seek, and the elite clone was able to get a hold of Omega. That's basically what happened last week. I don't know if you have anything else to add, sir.
Yeah, I mean, with all of that was going on there, you know, I love the you know, explain what's going on in the vault and the humanization of, like, these are literally just kids being taken and they're being treated as just subjects, you know, that are experimentation. And clearly, you know, there's much more nefarious things for when they're done with them. These kids ain't just going to go home, obviously. They're not going to make it. So, yeah, like, that part of it, you know, the humanization, the intrigue behind it, making it very clear that getting to Tantus is already going to be very tough. Right. But if you're going to get to Tantus, you're going to get to the vault and liberate. You're not going to just blast your way through the doors and just get right to that, which is why having someone on the inside like Emery Turn is going to be a key, because you can blast your way to the door, but she'll be the one to open it. And so I think it's going to be a huge pairing, especially around, you know, you get into the second episode, which the heartbreaker, my gosh, right when you're at the end and, you know, Omega's like, I will turn myself over. These people are going to have their homes, their lives destroyed.
Right.
I can't let that happen because of me. And Crosshair, like, okay, reluctantly, I will help you. You just got to get a tracker shot, you know, and get in time and we'll get it. And of course, right as he's going to put the tracker, these dudes just get on him. He's finding his way through to get to it and bloop, right into the water. It's like, oh, man. I'll tell you, last week when that ended, I was like, no, what are you doing? Like, are you going to like say that somehow she has an extra tracker on her that we didn't know about? Like, how are you going to do this? Obviously, this next episode we'll talk about this week, you know, tells us that answer. But right. man, I was like, what? You just spent all this time and then no, like, we're not going to be able to easily just get the Tantus. Crazy, 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 crazy. But I do love to see that, like, Omega always thinks of others before herself, being consistent to that. And Crosshair, which we go into this next one, you know, about really, like, he got really messed up on Tantus.
Yeah.
These people messed. Like, that's a tough dude.
Yeah.
Out of all the Bad Batch, I would probably say he's the most hardcore out of everybody.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean he's the one that flipped you. Just for funsies, right? Yeah.
Right. Like, he kills because he can. Like, he's sick with that dude, right? Yeah. And for that dude to be emotional about, I don't want to go back, and I don't want to talk about it, and his right. hands start shaking extra as he's thinking about it and stuff.
Yeah.
Ooh.
This rough, yeah.
That's tough, bro.
That's, yeah. Pretty intense. And then this week, they basically need to find Tantus. So they went and were breaking out one of the Imperial officers that Crosshair, he served under him, right?
Or correct. So that they right. when they invaded a specific space, like, he was right. the commanding officer of that mission.
Right. So he was in prison, and then they went to break him out because he knows where it is. But now he's like, well, you got to get me out of here first, and then I'll right. tell you. And then I'll tell you what, you know, what you guys want. So that kind of ended there. But then we get Omega Dude, going in. Mm-hmm.
But that vehicle, military vehicle sequence.
It reminded me of Mando.
That was awesome, dude.
It reminded me of Mando with Bill Burr. Sick, when they. Yeah, yeah. It reminded me a lot of that sequence in Mando when they were in disguise and they were being followed by the bandits. Yeah, it was good. It was really good. That was a really good sequence. You know, it's stormtroopers actually doing stuff, which was interesting.
I know.
They actually got in and blew up the turrets, and then yeah, so that was good. That was good. Yeah, that was a really good like escape sequence. A really good plan. Like
So cool.
overall, it worked really good, right? And then it's like, oh no, they're jamming us. Oh no, this thing's accelerating. Oh, intercept. And it was yeah, the whole plan kind of like worked out really well for them. So that was pretty good. And then Omega goes back to the lab, right, with Emery, and Emery just like, oh, you're safe now. And she's like, am I though? He's just like, So they yeah, they put her with the kids instead of just being by herself or helping Emery like Nalsei had her before, which I guess was part of what Nalase wanted, right? They didn't want her with the other subjects. They wanted her to be like doing stuff, right? And not be like basically like in prison. Well, she was still that, you know, in prison, but she had a little bit more freedom. And but now they go ahead and put her with the kids. And now she's gonna start telling the kids, it's like, yo, you have this power, you can escape. Like she's gonna start
Oh, for
like
sure.
getting the gears running. 'Cause you know her, man. It's yeah, good little character. I like her. I like Omega.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Again, I hope that we see more of her in the future, and you know, probably the crew too. So yeah, no, again, I'm enjoying it still very, very much. Gonna miss it when it's done. But I think Joel, we gotta jump into the
Oh,
showstopper.
wait. Wait, wait,
Go, go,
wait.
go,
Oh,
go,
time
go,
out. Because
go.
I just thought about it and I was like,
Okay.
kind of because we're talking Star Wars and animation.
Right.
Right after we recorded last week,
Yes. Yes.
out of nowhere, on the day after, we get the Tales of the Empire, or Tales of the Sith, excuse me.
Tales of the
Tales of
Empire.
the
Empire.
Empire, that's what it was. Tales of the
Yeah.
Empire, yep. Look at that one. Oh
Looks real
my gosh,
good.
dude.
Barriss.
What?
It's like I was like, dude, I was waiting to see Barriss in Ahsoka, like in the show. Like I thought like Barriss was gonna be the Inquisitor that was hanging out with these two dudes. So yeah, it looks really good.
I
It looked
know.
really good.
I know. I mean, Dave Filoni, Ahsoka is his, that's his baby. Like, he created that character. He loves it, all
Right.
the stuff. Ahsoka's probably going to be in this at some point or another in one of
Right.
these
Merak was
next.
the name of the oh,
Marok, that
because we
was in
see
the show.
her yeah, and we see her with the Inquisitor that Ahsoka got the lightsabers from.
Correct.
So
Correct.
oh man.
Yeah,
Yeah, it's
dude.
so good. Yeah, it looked real
So good.
good. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
Thrawn.
Right. Oh, Thrawn, yeah. Right? Thrawn and
Dude.
Morgan Elspeth and how they got
Yep.
like the when they, you know, started the whole deal. It's like, oh yeah, I want to help you because power, right? And so
Yeah, we'll see
yeah.
what happens probably with Dathomir, the destruction of Dathomir, and clearly how that's going to tie probably even further
Right.
into Ahsoka
Because
that's going to
we
be
see
coming out the following
Grievous
year.
and yeah. So
Yeah,
yeah, it looked very
Grievous, that
good.
was is it just what another
Look
trailer.
really good. Yeah, see if as long as they keep feeding us this kind of thing, it's fine. It's fine.
And that's May
I'm
the
good.
4th, right? That's coming up.
Soon. I think it's like right after Bad Batch ends, right? If I'm not wrong.
Tales of the Empire. Let me
Just
fact
checking.
check this.
Fact checking. I don't wanna
I
misinform our
think,
audience.
yeah, May the 4th.
Well,
That's
there you go.
what's there. Yeah. So,
Cool.
I mean, literally, we're in April here now. It's coming up.
Yeah. Cool, man. Pretty good. All right, sir. Are you ready?
I'm ready. Let's dive into this. Give
How
me the
is this
space.
show so freaking good, dude? And it keeps getting better. It keeps That's the thing, right? Because it's this has been Marvel TV shows, and more specifically like Marvel Studio stuff, right? It's either they either plateau or and they just you know, they go up to the line and then just keep going, right? Or they start up here and they just crash down. This one, it's just the opposite. It just keeps going up
Yes.
and up and up.
Yes.
Holy crap, dude. This freaking episode, man. That was insane. Insane. Like on all ends, right? Because we see like Cyclops losing his school with the reporter. Like,
Yeah.
no, this like, oh yeah, you see me like smiling and leading the action. No, I'm pissed. I'm real pissed right now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And then and then the, you know, the struggles with Jean. We go back to them trying to, you know, figure out what to do at in the school, and then we get Magneto, Rogue, and Gambit go to Genosha because they wanted to
Yeah.
do, or they wanted to offer Magneto the opportunity to be the king of Genosha, basically. So,
Yeah.
yeah, we got a ton of cameos. Like, I haven't caught up on all the cameos, but there's like cameos everywhere, right? Nightcrawler's back. Though he was
Yeah.
pretty very prominent in this episode. Some of like the newer characters that I'm not very familiar with like Glob and was it Pixie or Fairy, right?
Oh yeah, I know that
So
about
yeah,
yeah.
so I'm not super familiar with those. Those are like newer X-Men characters. But you know, we get, you know, Banshee and Sebastian Shaw and Snow Queen, and man, it's, or the White Queen, I'm sorry, not the Snow Queen. Yeah, it's like this ton of stuff happening, right? And it's like, oh, everything's, I wasn't expecting the turn, man. And then Cable showed up, and I was like, oh no. Oh, what's gonna happen here, dude? As soon as he showed up, man,
You knew this is
I
the
was
future.
like, oh, this is gonna go sideways real
Yep.
quick. And he did, bro. So, okay. The Sentinel, right? That was that a mix of the Tri-Sentinel and the, is it Savage Sentinel or Wild Sentinel?
I think so. There's also another one. I heard another name for it too recently, but it was kind of like a tribal sentinel. There was some like weird thing about it. Yeah, like
Right.
it's a very specific type.
Right. So yeah, it was more, it was like a mix of like a couple of things. Yeah, it wasn't
Yeah.
necessarily like the one thing, right? I think that they wanted to do kind of like pay homage to both, but this thing came out, dude, and like people got like
Oh, for sure.
Banshee got, Sebastian Shaw got like a lot of people in Genosha just
Yeah.
got. And you know, of course, you know, the Sentinels construction, they don't allow Magneto to control them, so he used whatever he could to fight, and Rogue and Gambit jumped in, and Nightcrawler, and an amazing action sequence, and you know, Magneto grabbing the train and just whipping it. Oh, it was so good. So
Ooh.
good, dude. But then, you know, Magneto's trying to save some of the mutants. He's seemingly eliminated, right? And I say seemingly because we don't really see. It says they, you know, the Sentinel says threat eliminator, but we don't really see, right?
Correct.
But then Rogue gets an anime power boost, and oh, and then in the meantime, like Rogue's watching it, and he's like, "No, Rogue, stay back," and you know, oh man, it was so freaking good. And then Rogue struck, oh, and then Gambit, oh my boy, and then my boy gets stabbed, and then he blows up the Sentinel, and he also seemingly dies. So apparently Magneto and Gambit are dead.
And not including all the other,
All the other
like they just
side,
flash people, and the
right?
constant question, how
Yep.
many are dead?
Yeah, it was a lot. It was a lot. It was thousands, right? So,
Well, if you do it like the comics, there's 16 million.
right, exactly. But we know that there's plenty of people like still running around in the island. It's like it's not
100%.
complete like annihilation, right? The man. So, I think another big revelation is Jean Clone or Madame Prior realizing that Cable is her son. I was like,
Yeah.
oh, yeah, right. I was like, oh, "Oh yeah, your eyes." And then he's like, "I'm sorry, mom." He got Deadpooled into his own into his own timeline. And then yeah, and then everything went down. Man, I'm telling you, like there's got like this is gonna lead up to Deadpool. Like
It
I
very well could as one of the universes at that point, really, you
yeah.
know?
Yep. Like 'cause man, a lot happened, and I think that based on the Wild Sentinels, right? The main villain that controlled the Wild Sentinels is gonna be the main villain in Deadpool. So,
Right.
like, there's a lot that's stitching together. That said, right? The rest of the crew are watching from the mansion, and they're like, "What?" So, it's gonna be crazy. Before we still go into the theory, sir, what's up, sir? Tell me
Yeah,
yours.
like it was. So I'm gonna be honest with you. From like the first half of the episode, it's good. It's not that it's bad or anything like that. I just said, okay, like this is gonna be one of those episodes that's more like character, like exploration and just trying to set up. And like next episode, we'll just jump into some bigger discovery of some kind. And I said, maybe we'll even jump back to, what's still going on with Storm.
Storm.
Like, that was a huge drop off from the last episode. That was
That
like
was a
half
bait
of
and
an
switch.
episode last
That was
week.
a bait and switch, but a good one, right?
Yes, a
Because
good yes.
Marvel's been known for terrible bait and switches.
Yes.
So this was a good one. Because
Yes.
they sold you that last week's episode as a part one, and you're
Yes.
expecting part two this week, and it's completely unrelated, and it blows your freaking mind. So
Yes.
it's that was good. That was good.
Which is
Well
clearly we
played.
had to see these events first before we can get to that.
Right.
Like that's what's important that we understand. There's a rhyme and a reason of where these are being released strategically and us to see, okay, if we're seeing this storyline, what's happening simultaneously with these characters here. So, Storm shows back up. She's like, yeah, I know about what happened, in Genosha. I just love the huge scale of Genosha, the clear, like, I don't want to say politicization of it, but the clear, like, branding of like what it stands for and like how the place of everyone's free together and excited
Very,
and there's
very
no sense.
Wakanda-like.
Very Wakanda,
Yeah.
yes, I've seen it. Very Wakanda like and like so like everyone's like, okay, we're all just mutants, so we don't have to like hide our powers, Like your people are flying with wings and whatever. Nobody cares, right?
Right.
Multiple man, whatever. And like that's cool, but like at the same extent, it was also very obvious of like this utopia will not last. Like there was some kind of weird feeling you had the whole time of like there's something
It's like a
coming.
dread, right? Yeah.
Yes. And like the way that they did it going into the end, where it's like out of nowhere, you said Cable shows up and the timing. We can get into theories here in a second, but very clearly, I saw what the director put out there, and like, he was saying how like he wanted people to kind of feel like the same, like mirroring like real life, where like the way people felt like during 9/11, where like no one saw it coming, it just happened. Like the Pulse nightclub, people were dancing, whatever, and then out of nowhere, chaos at the door, with he mentioned a bunch of other, different like events that like he kind of wanted to capture those kind of like. It's out of nowhere. It wasn't just to do a shock factor, but it was very
Right.
calculated. And I think it's gonna also come into play very clearly of, we, and I don't know if you want to jump into theories now, but like it's very clearly coming into the point where there was a obvious timing of while these characters are celebrating and doing their stuff, someone who was there was already kind of making sure that everything was gonna fall and make sure that everyone, all eyes were on this moment to make sure. Hey, while you guys are holding hands dancing, like I'm going to be over here making sure that this threat comes through exact timing. I've seen people talk about specifically the is it Valerie, the name of the specific senator, right? With that's there with the lady with the glasses, say her name right. you know, the blonde lady with the glasses, original voice of Jean, her character, right?
Right.
A lot of people are saying that she is not who we think she is. That she actually, there's another character impersonating her, and et cetera, et cetera. Right. That, you know, why is it she's telling people to run this way and then they all get like blown out a matter of seconds and like whatever. Everywhere she goes, trouble kind of goes through. I've seen people say that's like Magneto wanted like to be like, you know, to be a victim of this, to kind of use like these things to kind of carry on like the message of we have a common enemy between humanity and mutants, and like there's something bigger at play. I don't know. It's all good theories there and whatnot.
Right.
And you shared with me this thing for next week, and I don't know, man. What is going on?
Yep. You know what? I one thing that I didn't mention, I don't know if you saw it. Did you see The Watcher?
I did. I actually caught it live when it was going on.
All right.
I was like the Leonardo DiCaprio meme. I was like, it's there. It's there. He's there. I see it. I caught it live, bro. Yeah,
sorry, whistling on the TV.
Yes. That was me.
Oh, man. Yeah. So going to the promo that they released this morning, when I saw the shield, I thought of Captain Carter, because Captain Carter in What If stayed with the Watcher, right? Or was doing like working for the Watcher.
She wouldn't have that shield, though.
She didn't have that shield. She had the British shield, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. But then that's what I saw. I was like, when I first saw it, I thought of her. But then I was like, oh, wait, that she had a different shield. Like,
I think they're going to reuse like the old like Avengers TV like character stuff, dude, from that same time period.
Same
they're
show.
Connecting those shows.
Yeah.
Because I guess back in, someone else pointed this out, that back in the original show, like in during the Dark Phoenix run, mm-hmm. when the Dark Phoenix wakes up, there's like a flash and the Watcher was shown at one time, and Doctor Strange was shown. And I think someone else was shown too. So like they know, like they exist in this world.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's their version, right? Because there is a different universe, but that we know of.
So, right.
Right. Again, I saw people complaining. It's like, oh, well, they're trying to bring Captain America into X-Men. Well, the show started with like a newspaper thing flying with like Spider-Man or whatever, right?
Daily Bugle. Yep.
So yeah, we know Spider-Man was in the show for a couple episodes, like 100%. From VOD, right?
Which I can say, like, if you guys go back and watch our MegaCon panel video from this, they talked, the cast talked about it. They said, like, there was plans if this show would have continued on, which obviously it did now with this. The plan always was to actually have the Avengers, Spider-Man, and the Silver Surfer TV show, I think at the time, have them all actually collide into one main thing.
And they could. They could still could.
Right, that's the thing.
Joel, how long until fans do a petition for Marvel to rehire both of them?
I don't think fans should do that, though, because we don't know all the story. Until you know this, if anything, demand answers.
Well,
like, somebody needs to speak up and say, like,
why?
Even if it's vague, we don't need to have all the details, but we need to have an idea of the why.
At this point,
because fans deserve to understand. And I understand that there probably was something signed and stuff of like, look, you know, amicable contract end or whatever. But there has to be something, because we don't know the why. People are going to be just saying, bring them back. And then, you know.
Yeah.
If let's just say, I don't know. I'm clueless about, because we really have zero. All I'm speculating, because we know nothing. But say that for some reason there was a victim of some kind involved in something, or there's some type of legal case or some type of, you know, thing going on there.
If it's legal, he wouldn't have spoken today when they asked him about the episode.
I don't know. I mean, but that wouldn't be uncommon, though, to still talk about your work.
I don't know.
Like, Singer would still talk about X-Men, right?
I don't think Singer's allowed to speak at all.
I don't think Singer will, like, because he wants to. Yeah.
Right.
I'm not calling him. I want to be clear. I'm not accusing him of. Right. I have no idea what the story is. Like, you know.
Yeah. I think it's good.
I have no idea. Like, it could be nothing to the extent of what I'm talking about.
Right.
It just seems sus.
Yeah. It seems weird, right? I personally don't think it was abrupt, but I personally don't think is as egregious as some of us. Like, to me, it's probably more of a James Gunn scenario, where like, oh, this is this old joke you made 20 years ago, on, you know, in back in 2006, right? And we can't run like this. But then they ended up, you know, rehiring him, right? That could be, it could potentially be the case, dude. Like, all I'm saying, Joel, is there's confirmation that he wrote a season two. There's season two out there. It's written. What will happen if this dude goes and writes for movies? Like the X-Men, like the proper MCU proper movies, dude.
I know.
Mind blown.
Right now, I mean, we're not done with the season. The show could collapse in the second half.
No.
I have no reason to expect it.
He said today, it's like, if you like this one, my favorites were 8 through 10.
Which said, is smart.
Yeah.
Which is so smart. Yep. I'm just saying, like, hypothetically, it hasn't ended yet. Hypothetically, it could crash and burn, and then we're all like, what did you do?
No, whatever.
Do I expect it? No, thing. I don't. There's, I have faith. So. I have my 3-episode rule. We're way past that now. So we're in.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, like, you know, hypothetically, but I'm just still, regardless, I think answers, I'd like some answers to some questions, because when someone does this good, makes you curious.
Right, for sure. Yeah. Deadpool, I mean, Deadpool's going to be a thing, right? It, depending on how this is going to end, I think for reals, dude, I'm going to get go out of my way and go watch Deadpool. Cuz
yeah, I mean,
this thing could very well lead up to that. It's like Deadpool, like, it wouldn't surprise me, like this show ends with Deadpool pulling a Back to the Future like thing at the end of the season. It's like, hey, we gotta go back to the future, okay? You know, and it's voiced by Ryan Reynolds, and you know, it's like, hey guys, we kind of gotta go back, and then that leads up to Deadpool. So like, it wouldn't surprise me at all. So by the way, did you see the full Wolverine costume that got out there?
Yeah, on the cuff. Yeah, it looks great.
Yeah, man. It looks just like the one from the Wolverine, like the one from the end when he opens the case. Yeah. So that's pretty good. Yeah, bro. I was here. My daughter was sick for a couple days. Like, I started on Monday. She was here yesterday morning, and I felt really bad because I'm over here using expletives when all this is happening.
Oh, she saw it live?
No, she was in her room because she wasn't feeling well.
Okay. Yeah.
But I'm over here, like,
dude, that's violent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, yo, what?
I was reclined, like, watching it, like, for most of it.
Yeah.
And then like, when all the kids stuff, I was like, come on. I was like, oh.
Okay. What?
Okay, here we go. I texted somebody, said, what in the Terminator, Avengers, Infinity War, man, Game of Thrones just happened here?
Evil shows up, and Joel's like, yeah, straight up.
Literally, that's what happened, bro.
That's so good.
I'm not making this up. I locked in. But so I think there's, I think the Cable thing, like, that could be a cool tie. I don't know that this show's going to end with, like, making a clear tie. I feel like you'd have to watch Deadpool alone, and then it's going to be like jumping into different universes, and one of them being like the animated universe. But like, let's be honest, X-Men 9, if you watch, you know, Doctor Strange, Multiverse of Madness, the theme plays when Professor Xavier walks out there. Can that somehow tie into saying, like, you know, something there around like this change of history or change of time or reset that may be happening? Because the Watcher's watching. He needs to know when this divergence effect kind of happens, right? Where clearly there's a cross between time and space going on here. Plus, you also have to look at the fact that with even like Miss Marvel, when she says mutant, if you watch the show, the X-Men 97 theme plays as well. So yes, I think you're onto something about a live action crossover. I don't expect it at the end of the show for them to make an obvious pitch. I think they're going to kind of keep it isolated, and then in other properties tag on to the success of this animated show.
Right.
This animated show doesn't need the live action stuff.
No,
live action stuff needs the show.
Right.
they need the storylines and the excitement. But yeah.
Man, this show's so good. How is this so good?
I don't know, man.
It's see? That's what happened. Okay. Hey, Disney. It's what happens when you bring a writer that one knows the material and two loves the material, right? Unlike She-Hulk, when no one had a clue about the material and they were just making it up as they went. That's all I gotta say, right?
Obvious.
It's you can tell, right? You can tell what going back to like the movies, right? The MCU movies. You can tell which ones were written by people that really loved their thing. Like yeah. The Russos and
Favreau,
and you know, when you go to the Iron Mans, and yeah, man, like you can tell, but the show's so good. I am so excited. By the way, they had an X-Men versus Street Fighter over there at Arcade Monsters.
Nice.
Yeah,
nice.
The sticks were janked though, so I couldn't play it too much. I couldn't jump on one of those. I moved to the other one and I couldn't hit a diagonal. And I was like, oh, no, I wanted to play it. So, yeah. But, yeah, I'm very much looking forward to next week. And now after watching that tease from this morning, I was like, oh, what the heck, man? It's going to be real interesting. Star Wars Outlaws. Is a video game that is coming out more than likely at the end of this year. So far, it's August 30th. They still haven't said that it's going to be delayed. I don't know. Hopefully not. But they released the first trailer or story trailer for the game, and I think it looks pretty good. It's Assassin's yeah. Creed Star Wars in a way that I was not expecting, mm-hmm. right? Because I was expecting this game to be more like Far Cry. And it could switch up, right? But it seems like even the animations of the character jumping around, like jumping from, you know, the rooftops and hanging. And even the animations look like Assassin's Creed animations, yeah. right? So... And because you know, this guy is like, they got those animations, they're not gonna sit around on them, they're gonna use them. So that's why I'm comparing it to Assassin's Creed. But, interesting that we're gonna go to Canto Bight again, mm-hmm. and it's confirmed that Kira is in the game from Solo. So, yeah, man, it looks pretty good. I think it looks, you know what, this game, this year so far, other than the Elden Ring DLC and Dragon Ball Sparking Zero, I didn't really have a lot that I was looking forward to. I may catch this one up. This looks pretty good. I mean, Ubisoft games are good. Like even if you don't like the formula, they're pretty consistent. I agree. So. Yeah, and what do you think?
Yeah, it was good to finally get like a actual story driven cinematic trailer thing put together, just because, you know, since I'd seen the first release reveal announcement, whatever thing that they had at Comic-Con last year, you know, they really didn't have much revealed beyond that after that time. And a little bit of gameplay, you know, we'd seen stuff like that. But with this right now, like, it just looks like it's more of like a you know, a shooter game that's kind of Assassin's Creed. That's also like, yes, we're in the Star Wars universe, but we're not trying to add to the story of Star Wars. Like, it's very clear that it's like it's just gonna be like that story. Fun, side story, and like it's having fun, you know, going to like important scenes and characters on a side of the Star Wars universe that they don't explore as much sometimes. That, you know, I think Boba Fett was supposed to explore, but maybe didn't do it in the way people have liked. It's gonna be interesting to see if this show kind of does a little bit more to expand that lore. I love at the beginning, like the bringing together of all these different syndicate families to get, the Pikes and the Hutts and these characters that we, these worlds that we know are hardcore people. Right. And she's like, I'm just a scoundrel, which obviously we know from like the Han Solo type, not saying a knockoff, but like, that same kind of storyline of a person where it's like, I don't work for the Empire. I don't work for the Rebellion. I just work for me. And I'm just trying to do whatever. They're going to make her an anti-hero, obviously. She's been crossed by obviously the bad people in Star Wars, which is going to be specifically on your bounty hunter side, because she is a bounty hunter, and I think it's going to be like the Hunter Hunted at some point. Right. You'll probably have enough of your missions that you can do where you can hunt to get different people and collect your bounty on them, and that'll be fun. But then at some point it'll switch to probably you being on the run and unlocking a bigger thing. Yeah, I think it'll be a fun game as long as it works and it runs fine. Storyline, they got me.
Right. Joel, have you seen the pricing for the? Because this was a big
no,
fart about I didn't this.
See it.
No?
No.
Okay.
Was like $80.
It's 70 for good base not game, even. Right? But then the gold edition, which it basically includes the season pass, is 110.
Oh, jeez.
So remember when I told you a couple months ago about GTA? I was predicting that GTA was going to be $100.
Confirmed.
I mean,
if Ubisoft's doing this for a game that's not that as big, I'm sorry. Why would GTA not?
We're getting
Rockstar.
They confirmed that GTA is going to be, well, GTA, they confirmed that the base is going to be 70. Oh. And then the next one's going to be 100, like the whatever, not the collectors, but whatever edition is after that.
Gold, whatever.
Yeah, get used to it, guys, because it's unsustainable. Like the pricing on the games, like the games are too cheap. Hey, you know what?
It's
you don't
scary.
Have to.
Scary
hey, I know, dude, I'm going to clip this section. Just because we're gonna get so many dislikes from what I'm saying right now, this game's $70. Final Fantasy VII Rebirth $70, right? And I paid $100 for the deluxe, and I'm fine with that. It's a game that I wanted to play, and I'll pay for the nice version because I want to, right? But you're looking at this game $70 and people are complaining, oh, the game's $70 already, and you gotta pay an extra 50 or whatever for the gold edition. Right. Or 40. Man, and I always keep going back to, have you guys seen those Toys R Us ads from the console war era? When you're looking at like Mortal Kombat 3 for $70 on the SNES, or looking at like again, I remember Strider for Genesis, for the Sega Genesis, was like $80, a 15 minute game. I mean, that was made by a very small team of people because the game was reprogrammed by Sega. It's probably like three people that worked on that game. And we're talking about a game here that has taken thousands of man hours, probably about 1,000 people, because Ubisoft teams are insanely large.
Oh, yeah.
Guys, I mean, you guys, I know that you're just here to consume the video game, and you don't really think about, you eat the sausage, you don't think about how it's made, right? And at some point we gotta let go of this like mentality, and the solution to that would be a subscription model. But then you don't own anything.
Correct.
So either you pay more or you subscribe and you don't own anything.
Mm.
So you have those two choices, right? I would rather pay more. and not be tied down to a subscription. That's
unless
just
the subscription's really, really good. Like there's something
that's just
they have
me,
to
right?
add to it.
Right. Like I Game Pass is worth it. Like if I would have Xbox, I wouldn't buy a single game, dude.
Yeah.
Because I have Game Pass. I don't need to buy anything else.
Agreed.
Like, right. I but again, like there's games that are not in Game Pass, like I don't know, Resident Evil 4 or whatever. Right? I don't know if it's on Game Pass, but I'm just
which, like so you might have your random pickups that you buy out
exactly.
outside of Game Pass, but mostly you're 90%.
Right. Yeah, right. That's me. That's locked down. I don't know, like, you know, we gotta make concessions on this, and you know, this games are getting so large and unsustainable that, you know, we gotta think, and you know, hey, if you don't want to pay for it, fine, don't pay for it. I'm gonna tell you, I'm not forcing anyone to buy, you know, Outlaws. If you don't want to buy it, don't buy it. It's fine.
Yeah.
Right. If you don't want to download the video because of the additions, that's up to you. And I don't care. I don't care. Right. But it's you guys are not understanding how games are being made, and that's a huge problem when it comes to the industry as a whole. Right. I think that the industry has done a really bad job at educating the gaming community on how games are made, versus when DVDs came out and you got like bonus features and you get the making of the movie, right? And you see all this stuff that goes behind the scenes to make the movie happen, right? And it's like, oh yeah, then you know, there's a lot of work that goes into making this movie, right? But then you don't get that with games because there's a lot of proprietary stuff and proprietary engines, and there's a lot of stuff that you don't see, and it's unfortunate, right? But, you know, we don't see the Konami dungeons. But you know, it is... You guys, like, a little... If you're remotely... Here's the thing, right? Like, if you're remotely interested in video games, you should at least be aware of the amount of work that it would take for any studio to make a video game. Yeah. To not only to make the video game good and to be as bug-free as it could be at launch, right?
Yeah.
It's tough. It's tough. So I mean, I'm gonna clip this, and I'm gonna catch heat, and I, you know, call me a boomer or whatever. I don't care. Yeah, you know, it's unfortunate, right? Again, I go back to the when you know, when you pay $90 for a... I was telling my daughter the other day, it's like, dude, I paid, I have it like back here. I have been with my SNES games. I have Mega Man X2. I pay $75 for Mega Man X2.
Wow.
Back when I bought it, $95. So, and yeah, Mega Man X2 is a really good game that you can, you know, play for, you know, a few hours.
Right.
But then I paid $7 for the Mega Man X collection on PSN a few weeks ago, because I wanted to play Mega Man X, and I didn't want to play on the SNES Mini. I don't know why, because I have them there. So I bought it on PSN, $7. And, dude, but at the same time, it's like, yeah, this game was a lot of money back when it came out. And, you know, this is the equivalent of, you know, 70, even more, right? With inflation, $75 now is, you know, way more than $69.99. Or maybe it is around $109. I think that's fair, right? That's just me, right? That's just me. But again, you guys wait for the sale, but that's totally fine. You can wait for the sale, and you know, it is what it is at this point. But hey, that's just me. But yeah, it looks pretty good. I may consider this game. I'm gonna wait until I see more of a gameplay preview of it, to make the decision, but and it's interesting to me right now. So yeah. Joe, we got a teaser for Joker, Folie à Deux, if I'm saying that correctly. And yeah, it's looks very good. Looks very good. Looks very artsy. Cinematography is incredible from what they show. So they are, I think they realize it's like, hey guys, I think if we could have made a little bit more effort, we could have been like in the running for like the big Oscar wins. I mean, they did win Best Actor,
Yeah.
but maybe he'll win again, because
Possible.
it's pretty insane. But I think they're going for the jugular on this one. They're going artsy. They're going, hey, let's go win the Oscar on this one. So, but what do you think?
Overall, the trailer's good. It carries on to the same kind of beats that you feel from the first one, even though we know that this is going to be a musical. The trailer itself doesn't pitch it as this big show number dance music sequence, even though we have that in here. Like,
Right.
we have very clear moments that you can tell this is going to be a musical number. That's going to be a mu including the actual song itself that's in the trailer too, which is a good touch. I seen a few people say this. I kind of feel similarly. For like the beginning of it, you kind of makes you wonder. Is this, and it's the same question people asked with the first one when you saw the ending of the first one, is this whole thing a dream or a vision inside of the asylum? Could be. But then there's moments and things that you see that's like, I believe this person had experiences on the outside that would have come into the visions or, perspective of what's going on over seeing the film. It's gonna be hard to tell, but that's one of those like cool points of when you watch it that you'll have to kind of guess and figure out what's real and what isn't, which is the same thing you have with the first movie, and I enjoyed that part of it. As it relates to having now Harley Quinn in this, like you heard my argument about the same thing with the first one, where I said, yes, it did take beats from The Killing Joke, but it really isn't The Killing Joke. Same thing here, like this isn't Harley Quinn, but it's not really Harley Quinn if you really think about it. Like, Harley Quinn's supposed to be a psychiatrist. There's no indication in this trailer to me that he is her client at any point in time. They could change that. I could have only it's a tease, but it just feels like they're just kind of being very original and saying, like, this is the story we want to tell. Just swap, she's another inmate and just make her own thing. It does not feel very DC, it does not feel very Joker, but yet it does. It's okay because you can do this when you have a James Gunn universe that you're going to get your classic characters and classic things, and then you have these types of artistic takes on a beloved character that honestly, if you would have messed up the Joker anyways, it's fine. Life moves on. We always have Heath Ledger's representation, and now we know the first movie was good anyways, so no biggie.
Yeah, it looks good. Looks good. Like I said, cinematography, they're going for it on this one. So,
Absolutely.
yep. Joe, and real quick, there was a few announcements from Paramount today. More notably that they're making a Last Ronin adaptation. Last Ronin being the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles graphic novel that came out a few years ago, and which is, very gritty, very violent, and they're saying that they're working on it. I only have one concern. You know who that producer is for the
I was gonna say the same
film?
thing, bro. Friend of the show, Ray Fisher, said, this is the guy that you gotta point your fingers at for ruining things.
Walter
Walter
Hamada.
Harmada. Oh, Walter.
So, he is, I guess, working for Paramount now, and he's going to be producing. But it looks like the creators are going to be involved in some capacity, and someone else is writing. So as long as he doesn't touch the writing,
Right.
that should be fine. Now, is this going to be live action? Or is this gonna be, what is this gonna be,
Right,
right?
right.
Because if you do like a greedy like live action, oh man, this is gonna be crazy. This comic is crazy anyway, but yeah, it's pretty intense. So looking forward to it. Yeah, like to me, that was the big thing they announced. They did say that apparently they showed some footage of Sonic 3, and people are really hyped for it.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Shadow was seen for the first time fully.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, man. I mean, if you watch that little trailer, that or not trailer, but that tease,
post
that
credit.
Or the title tease that they posted a few weeks ago or a few months ago, for Sonic 3, and you hear the music cues, you're a Sega and Sonic fan, you have very good reasons to be excited. So I am very excited, sir. And there's stuff confirmed out there. I don't want to spoil it. It's that good that I don't want to spoil it. I saw it. I was like, I wish I didn't see this. I'm going to the movie theater and I freaking cry. So there's stuff.
See the one statement made about how like they like straight up said, we are going to take Sonic the Avengers like universe, like right. Level and stuff.
Yeah. But when you think about it, it's like, what Avengers can you do with Sonic? It's like, what movie, what Sega property are you going to do next? Streets of Rage, and then have a crossover? That's Sega Adventure Racing or whatever it's called.
All-Star Racing. The spin-off characters already within Sonic's world. Like, you have Knuckles getting his own show, right. And like different things like Shadow that. Like, so you can kind of, you bring them all together in one film, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, man. I'm really excited for Sonic. So,
did you see the G.I. Joe Transformers confirmation? Which we already knew from the one movie, but mm-hmm. still.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know how I feel about that. I don't know
how will you see it, Obed.
I don't know. I'll see it when I see it. But because I enjoyed that movie, okay, right? And then at the end, you get thrown into the G.I. Joe thing. I was like, oh,
yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Why are they doing this? Yeah. I don't know, man. You know that does that mean we're gonna get a Barbie Hot Wheels crossover from the Mattel Cinematic Universe? Let's go.
Let's go.
Oh no! So I'm just hoping that this guy is like, dude, it's like, where's Mask, Hasbro? Do a Mask movie. You bought that property from Kenner and forgot about it, and you never done anything with it. Do a Mask movie. That would be awesome. Mask had the best intro song of any cartoon in the 80s. I loved Mask, man. It's one of those shows and toy lines that really have a special place in my heart. I really, really enjoyed it when I was a kid. I you know, believe it or not, Joel, I me being forward thinking, right? I wasn't that much into Transformers. I don't know why, when I was a kid.
Sure.
But I was like super into like Robotech and Voltron and the anime mix and Mazinger C, right? So like I was more into the anime mix than Transformers, although they technically were anime, right? Technically. But, if there's any property from that era that really like took me like pre-TMNT, right, was Mask. Like I was Mask all day long, dude. I had a lot of the toys and watched the show as many times as I could. So good. So Hasbro, get on it.
Let's do it.
Joel, it's what we got, sir.
Absolutely.
Let's go ahead and wrap it up.
Thank you all so much for sticking with us for today's show. Lots of fun, a good, great conversations always. We want to make sure you stay subscribed. So if you would subscribe to the podcast version of No Load Time on podcast platforms of your choice, we're on Spotify, Amazon Music, SoundCloud. Find us, subscribe to us. Also write reviews there. Additionally, we're on video versions. You know, we've got some great clips that are taken from the show as well as other content that we produce. So if you would go to No Load Time on YouTube, subscribe to the channel, like those videos, and drop us a comment. The support helps us tremendously so we continue doing this. And we want to just keep bringing you all great content as much as possible. Additionally, you can also follow us on social media at No Load Time on Facebook, Threads, Instagram, TikTok, all the places, right? So find us there. And then also you can follow us on Twitch. No Load Time is No Load Time altogether for Twitch. And then last but not least, if you have a question, comment, or feedback, feel strongly. You can always write a comment in the comment section. We also get to email us. You can email us.